watching the Sam Hyde Show. I got headphones on. You're watching the Sam Hyde Show. You know it. You love it. You're here for more. We're here for you. I can't wait to get up in that ass. Doesn't mean anything. Don't read into that too much. It's the end of February. We're coming in hot. We got news for you. News story number one. We cannot begin to discuss Jewish blood libel until the 45-second mark because YouTube will demonetize us, okay? Notice the word demon is in demonetize because of Jewish blood libel. Why is it called Jewish blood libel? Is the word libel because it's a lie made up about Jews? ChatGPT, what does Jewish blood libel mean? I know that it's false and anti-Semitic. I'm not even going to read what that is. This Diet Coke is a little too fizzy. It's a little too potent in the fizz factor. I would much prefer a McDonald's Diet Coke. This is peaty. I am peating right now. It's laced with honey. There's lemon in this, raw ginger, bee pollen, bee propolis from the bees, you know, testicles, whatever the organ produces bee propolis. I don't know. I'm not a scientist. Just mess with it so it's slightly out of focus the entire time. If you could do that, that would be perfect. Once again, I'm a victim of a chair situation.
You're going to want to adjust it. It can't recline.
This will last me 15, 20 minutes for sure. We're cutting this straight to the Fortnite stream. This is not long format video. There's a slight cant to the floor, so I'm going to be rolling towards the punching bag. Just enough to throw me off. Not enough to be an obvious visual problem so that the viewers understand why I'm slowly going insane. You'll just see the byproduct, the mental illness of sinking into a hole. I feel like I'm on a hillside right now. So Ross Ulbricht, did they get him out of jail? You know who Ross Ulbricht is, Valentine?
Vaguely.
Vaguely. You're not familiar with the whole Silk Road. You weren't even around.
What were
you?
Oh, no. Now I know what you're talking about. Yeah, yeah. He tried to hire a hitman, and he was convinced that he was talking to the Hell's Angels. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to speak out of turn. I don't know if that's what happened or not. But I do have a hot take. Put him back in jail. That's not going to win me any points with anybody. What do you think about that?
Trump took him out of jail.
Trump did take him out of jail.
You're up against, I don't want to say.
What?
Orange Hitler. You're up against Orange Hitler.
Drumpf. That's what we call him around the office. We call him Drumpf. We call him Orange Hitler. Yeah, Ross Ulbricht, I think, put him back in jail. That's my hot take. That's a clippable moment right here.
It's a very liberal take.
Is there anybody who thinks he should be in jail? Or does everybody pretty much unanimously, is everybody a free Ross Ulbricht type swag? I'm just teasing, by the way. I'm just joking around. I'm sad to hear that Jay Dyer thinks Ross Ulbricht should be in jail for life. But that's what it says here. Ross Ulbricht represents the older era of millennial Ron Paul fans committed to basic libertarian principles and online privacy. One thing that personally startled me was how quickly my own libertarian principles went out the window when I realized that Larry Fink buying Bitcoin would make my bags go up. The privacy element which Ross and Silk Road wanted to maintain has failed in principle, a great ideal, but this outlines the fatal flaw in libertarianism, italicized the real world. You guys don't even know about how fun libertarianism was back in the day, because you could go online and you could pretend and imagine a scenario where there were like private police. This is the type of thing, if you were on the computer in 2013, you'd be on these forums, I mean, at least if you were me, talking about how, yeah, if we just, who's gonna build the roads? Corporations that are paid by people that wanna use the roads, my friend. We're gonna have private police. This is what, do you guys know what libertarianism is? Do you know what libertarianism is?
Vaguely?
What is your understanding of libertarianism?
Everybody, just let people be, right? Isn't that the idea? It's just
here's the core tenet of libertarianism. I want trans weed farmers defending their weed farms with AK-47s in space. That is the central principle of libertarianism.
I can get behind it.
On paper, there's so much to libertarianism that looks like it would work. If you're creating a worldview in your head, which is the same thing that anybody does with an erroneous worldview, so it's not really that surprising. It's just I personally did this with libertarianism and not communism or something like it. You can really make yourself believe that legal weed and private police, something like that, would work. And then you grow up and you realize that the problem with the world is
greedy corporations.
Bleep that out. But none, this stuff doesn't hold. Unfortunately, it doesn't hold. That's the other thing, is that the Bitcoin has not fully reached the tail end of what effect it's going to have in the world. And I think I'm personally optimistic that it will make it so that it's much more difficult to finance military action, for example. I think that's still on the table for Bitcoin endgame. But in the meantime, it is ironic and funny that BlackRock is scooping up as much of it as they can. I mean, why wouldn't they? It would be ideal if we could convince everyone that it's in their best interest to act peacefully and cooperatively, but the world is much more complicated and harsh. In reality, it doesn't always follow the rules of logic or moral ideals. That's the main disconnect with libertarianism, is if you are building this house of cards, this fantasy scenario in your head where libertarianism works, part of the recipe is that everybody's a rational actor, that all the participants in the system that you're imagining are behaving, not in a way that's in accord with the common good necessarily, but behaving in a way that is rational. That's what the term rational actor means. Real life is just, you're lucky if you find one rational actor for every 10 people you come across. Everybody's a fucked up mess. Nature is full of predators and prey, and even the idea of living by principles like libertarianism assumes people are moral, highly intelligent, and trust each other. Yeah. Unfortunately, many people don't have these qualities. Most of the world is not moral, not based around high trust, and not high IQ. That's the other thing, is if these principles were to take hold, whatever the Bitcoin end state is, if it's even close to something libertarian, it means that all these hungry mouths that depend on whitey are going to starve to death. That's kind of a fucked up thing to think about, man. Oh my God. Libertarians meeting up and having a conference and like dressing in bow ties and shit. And they're like talking about this stuff. And really what they're talking about is like 6 billion gobblegop people starving to death. One of the most drawn out inhumane forms of death. They're just like kicking around.
Well, it's what's proposed in Atlas Shrugged is when people cooperate, and it's peaceful cooperate,
like 6 billion. Ah, feed us.
Rational, legal weed guy. Uh-huh. It's like prim and proper. And then if you ever walk into a weed store, it's Rick and Morty Walmart pajama people.
Uh-huh.
You shouldn't even be driving cars, let alone buying weed.
Yeah. As the world becomes more digitized, privacy will be more and more difficult to maintain. The road from then till now on Bitcoin has been very interesting, because I've personally known a lot of people who, if they had held on to their bags, would have been absurdly rich. And a lot of them got by that Monero. Is there another? Zcash. Ooh. That's some pain right there. I can think off the top of my head three people who would have over $100 million now if they had held onto their bags and they got. A lot of the people who got Bitcoin got, everybody got lucky. Everybody early got lucky, essentially. But a lot of them, they just had it because they were buying drugs or selling drugs on Silk Road. And then a lot of people came into Bitcoin from libertarian economics. They amassed an amount of Bitcoin that would have made them extremely rich nowadays. And then there were these offshoots, Zcash, Monero, alternative cryptocurrencies that function very similarly to Bitcoin. They're not like Ethereum, where it's like a smart contract platform or whatever. Bitcoin itself is a smart contract platform, but smart contract in the sense of you can make NFTs and shit on these things. That's not what these things were. They were very similar to Bitcoin, but just with privacy enhancements. And people, a lot of these libertarian guys who were early comers to the game, saw that Monero and Zcash were adding more advanced privacy features than the Bitcoin development people had any intention of bringing to Bitcoin. And because these libertarian guys are, they're ideological guys, like if they get captured by an idea, they will go all in. There's not much moderation in the libertarian community. I think people tend to fall in love with certain ideas and go all in and get captured by them, which maybe is like a reason why it's like autistic people that just like hobbies in general. So you could say that about any hobby. But
that's how I feel about Bitcoin right now. Like, I feel like I'm kind of diving in head first.
You're going obsessive on it?
Define obsessive.
If you were ideological about Bitcoin, the purpose of Bitcoin initially was to create Galt's Gulch. That's not a flattering combination of words to say. That sounds so bad. But Galt's Gulch in cyberspace. And Galt's Gulch, Tim May is the guy who created this. All these guys were really captured by Ayn Rand and libertarian economics. And this guy, Tim May, envisioned if you could have property and scarcity in cyberspace, you could set up an actual libertarian cyberspace-like realm. Point being, anybody who's into this stuff, they're like super committed to it on an ideological level. I think that's a good thing if you get captured by Bitcoin, but the guys that were like obsessed with privacy, they got ensnared by Monero and Zcash, which failed. Privacy is not a winning idea. I'm not saying it shouldn't be a winning idea. It's just not. And if you think that it is, you're not reading the room. If you're a developer or you're in this space in any capacity, you should be striving to make things more private and make people have digital sovereignty, et cetera, et cetera. But if you think the directionality of everything is going that way, you are just, you're critically unable to read the room to see how the future is going to take shape. That's obviously a bad thing, but it's also just being realistic.
My issue is I'm very cynical mm-hmm. about the state of the U.S. dollar in particular mm-hmm. and general currency. Mm-hmm. And when I look at Bitcoin, it goes down pretty significantly sometimes, but it always comes back up. Whereas the U.S. dollar just constantly goes down. Mm-hmm. So my whole thing is, I don't know about all these ideological, you know, fantasies that have kind of brought Bitcoin to the forefront. I have no idea what Galt's Gulch even is. I don't know what the Ayn Rand libertarian sort of idea there is. I am mostly fueled by cynicism, which may not be good.
That's a good thing. When it comes to your own bags, you should be cynical and not ideological. Mm. Taking a stand is for like your work, your opinions, etc. But when it comes to preserving your output, the blood, sweat, and tears, your economic power, you should be cynical and defensive, and you should probably assume the worst about people. And it's important not to carry that over to other things in life. But when it comes to your stacks, don't let it touch that. While Bitcoin has achieved some acceptance, many of the core principles libertarians fought for have waned. The legalization of drugs is far more common nowadays than when Ross was in prison, making two of the infractions. Ulbricht was given life in prison for somewhat irrelevant or at least up for questioning. It's clear that Ross was intended to be an example. That's probably the best argument for why he should be freed. Just like the idealistic communist, the anarcho-libertarian who feels that governments will wither away when borders vanish and maximum free trade exists, is just as deluded. Coyotes have borders, you know? Did you know that trees share resources with other trees that are genetically similar to them? Isn't that crazy? If Ross had fueled Silk Road with Hawktua coin or BB coin, he could have avoided all the fuss.
Hawktua, what happened to her? She vanished. Well, did she go to jail forever or what?
She's not going to serve anything.
She'll be back.
She'll be back
in spades. Hawk to a bitch? She's not going anywhere.
She'll be shilling something new.
She's too strong, too powerful.
The Hawk to a bitch
isn't going anywhere, man. She'll be back. She's up against the ropes right now. She's got to get a legal... I contributed to her legal defense fund. But she's not going anywhere. She's too dirty. She's too perfect a manifestation of the zeitgeist to go anywhere. You can't kill something like that. Does she have OnlyFans yet?
Haley Welch never dies.
Haley Welch can never die. You know, even if some good Samaritan were to put a pizza in her head, the spirit would live on. You know, they'd still be. I'd be selling merch at that point. If she dies, if she gets
microchipped,
by the next Mangione, I will sell her merch. Did they let you smoke on Hawk Tua? On Talk Tua?
They let you spit.
Talk to a dumbass bitch. The crypto thing is really just noise. The thing that did the most damage to her was Howie Mandel saying that her DNA test came back Jewish. That did way more damage in the eyes of Twitter heads than any scam could have done.
I thought that was like a 4chan like propaganda. I didn't think that was.
No, it was
Howie Mandel.
It was fake. It was. She went on the Howie Mandel podcast and did a 23andMe,
awesome.
Purportedly, but they got the results back instantaneously, and he said that she was 18% Ashkenazi or something, and that did more damage to her than anything a crypto scam could have done. I'm sorry. We can make a coin right now and rug pull it, and we'd be fine. But if it ever comes out that I'm Jewish, game over. Then we're all dead. Everybody in this room, our economic future right now is tied to me not being Jewish. BB coin. Is BB coin on Gaza chain real? Yo, why don't the Palestinians do a coin? Have they already? They should. That would humanize them, I think, and get them in the news cycle. I was watching video gameplay footage today of like a crowd of people being murdered by a big machine, and I was thinking, this is this is Jerry Seinfeld's fantasy of what he wishes he could do in Gaza right now. Just a big machine mowing down a crowd of innocent people. Man, I'm gonna need this spittoon. Here it is right here.
What are those things called? Skunk cannons, where they shoot like poo water at them? High velocity poo water.
Is that a thing?
In Israel? You don't know. Yeah. They have like these tanks that shoot like a fire hose of dookie water.
No.
It's like next level. It's very Yiddish.
There was one thing that they did to get the Ethiopians out. They like poisoned their food. Did you ever see that?
How did they get Ethiopians in Israel? That's what I want
to
know.
It was one of their biggest blunders of all time. But to get them out, they like poisoned their food.
Oh my God.
But the shit cannons thing is like a whole... No, that can't be real. Is that... It has to be
It's
real.
Like a skunk can. I think it's called a skunk cannon.
Oh. I'll ask Grok. Tell me about Israeli skunk cannons. That sounds made up.
I would never make that up.
Yo. Is there no depth to which they will not stoop?
The Israeli war crime iceberg.
Bro, it's so bad. Israeli skunk cannons refer to a crowd control tool used by the IDF, which deploys a foul-smelling liquid known as skunk. This is like from a video game. I'm going to screenshot this because we need this in our video game. This is straight up evil shit.
I'm surprised I didn't hear about this on PGL. Are you sure I didn't hear about this on PGL?
I have never heard this. I've never heard of this before.
I'm surprised you never heard of this.
Developed by an Israeli company called OdorTech.
That's awesome.
I don't even want to read this. This is so evil and fucked up.
OdorTech.
Disgusting ass. Schultz?
Yeah?
Can you send me a message on Slack? Skunk cannon OdorTech?
Yep.
I got to put that in the Joyride notes. Oh my God. So yeah, Haley Welch. She should just do another rug pull. Just come back strong. Don't let this get you down.
Double down.
Haley, if you're out there, if you're watching this show, which I know you are, just double down, okay? I'm too old for meme coins. Although, how are you going to get rich in today's day and age? Because Bitcoin is not going to 900x. You literally need a 900x. That's the only way you're going to make it out of this predicament that everybody's in. Isn't that crazy? That's true. Even if you make six figures, you're not, like, you can't. They took it. Somebody took it. You're taxed everywhere in invisible ways. Like 70% of your output is just wiped out. You don't get a tax break on your rent and your car. These should qualify as business expenses no matter what you do. Like your car, your rent, and like some basic amount of food, but you're taxed on that money somehow. Oh my, it just never ends. Even if you make $200,000 a year, it's gone, you're poor. How true is that? Is that very true?
If you do anything independent, like I'm independent contractor, let's say,
yeah.
And let's say I pay $6,000 in 2023, even in 2024, I won't get back what I paid in 2023 like everybody else would as an independent.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't incentivize business at all.
Yeah.
It's like it tries to force you into a 9-to-5,
mm-hmm,
so that when taxes come out, they're like, oh, hey, here's another $3,000. We're giving you back $3,000 of the $20,000 we took. Vice versa. No, you owe us $10,000. And you're not getting back anything next year. And if you make more money next year, we're taking more from you.
Yeah.
So it's a constant cycle that you're paying into no matter what.
That's something I have not really heard anybody expound upon at length, which is like how tightly incentivized or how tightly structured the system is to incentivize people to have a 9-to-5. It's basically like being in high school or something. Like they take all the taxes and stuff. Like they make it automatic. They make it so you don't have to think about this stuff. And if you do want to do something independent, suddenly there is like a mountain of research and work that you have to do. Even if you're a small company, you can only afford to hire, say, 4 people. One of those people has got to be doing accountant duty almost full time. And that's usually ends up being the business owner or, you know, it's a woman because women are good at being drones and looking at like, oh, a list of things I have to do for no reason. I can do these step by step, like baking instructions, making cookies. The people I know who are small business owners, they have like their mom or, you know, their wife or their mom do their books. And it's because doing books is like the longest possible cookie baking recipe that no cookies get made. It's just like a list of bullshit you have to do. And women are just good at doing bullshit without thinking about it. You can't get rich. You have to do meme coin gambling if you're going to get rich. That's the only way. Even if you're making $200,000, you're not rich. What the fuck are you going to do? You ever hear like a 30-year-old guy talk about retirement and like have an IRA? Are you insane or are you stupid?
It's like when boomer parents talk to you about Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
My dad sometimes will be like, oh, you're not even paying into Social Security. By the time I'm, 65, if I retire, I'll never retire.
Mm-hmm.
But you think Social Security is going to be around?
Yeah.
You think like I'm going to get like payback for years? No.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's like unrealistic. But it's drilled into their heads that, oh, yeah, the government's going to help you later on.
Yeah.
For your years of service.
Yeah, yeah.
My ass.
Your years of service.
Yeah. Like, I dropped out of college because I had to take financial accounting twice.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't stick. And now I wish I understood it now. But I had a bunch.
You don't, because it would be useless information that occupies a great portion of your brain.
Yes, that's true. But
it would slow you down and fuck you up. All right, so I wanted to do a video talking about this book. Someone posted a tweet, and the general thrust of the tweet was instead of a list of books to read, a list of books not to read, like Guns, Germs, and Steel, or The Secret. You familiar with The Secret?
Sounds like books my dad recommends me all the time.
The Secret is the book where it's like, if you think about something and you manifest it, that's the reason why all these dumbass bitches are always talking about manifestation.
Yeah.
Like you visualize and you think that you have it and the universe gives it to you. And that's the secret. You can have, like, it's goop brain shit that completely ensnares the dumbasses who are smart enough to read it. But these types of books are very bad for you.
Why?
Because they will, you'll spend the rest of your life as a victim of this worldview, thinking that you can manifest things and they'll come to you, for example. I haven't read Guns, Germs, and Steel, but this is like a whole genre. You look at the blurb on the back and the things people say about it, and you think that somehow this is like the most authoritative explanation for why the world is the way that it is. And everything's there, like the academic rigor is there and the sources are there and the language is there, and it's all very well reasoned. There are proper citations for everything that they say, but at the core, like under the hood, there's this sort of jujitsu thing where the goal is to lend credence to the idea that white people are evil, for example, or something like that, where it's like, what the book is not actually the reason for its existence. The reason for its existence is to fuck you up. If you want to know what I'm talking about, just look at find a list where it's like Bill Gates's favorite books or Bill Clinton's favorite books, which, by the way, they don't read. If you are at a level where you need like multiple personal assistants to handle your shit, if you're doing anything important, you're not reading books. That's bullshit. That's not a thing. Summarize Guns, Germs, and Steel. The Fates of Human Societies by Jared Diamond. That's one above gold, guys. Take notes, okay? Key points. Geography determines success. The availability of domesticatable plants and animals. Eurasian advantage. Wide east-west landmasses allowed for easier spread of crops, while continents like Africa and the Americas faced... Okay. Oh, I know from the title and the fact that it is, like, lauded as the most definitive, I know what it is.
The idea is it's not the people, it's luck was on our side, and that's why you had the most advanced civilization.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I remember it being.
Africa's not a good enough continent. The most resource-rich, boundless, endless continent, like the jewel of the world in terms of geography, not big enough. Germs and disease. Europeans built immunity to diseases, whereas indigenous... Oh, come on. Societies with surplus food could support specialists, leading to the development of weapons, organized states, and conquest... Contingency over destiny. European dominance was not due to inherent superiority, but to the cumulative advantages created by environmental conditions. Fuck you. Anything that's a New York Times editor recommended reading list, whatever, if it has to do with history or anthropology or whatever, it's the exact same story. That's what you get. So rather than find the best books that are going to do the best job of shaping your vision of reality, first and foremost, avoid the books that are going to rape your psyche. The guys that are like, oh, I read 200 books a year. That's a lie. That's something you would say if you're 16 and you're trying to think of the coolest thing to say that would make you sound the smartest. Nobody, it doesn't matter if you have an IQ of 150, nobody has the brain power to withdraw all of the wisdom that's within 200 books. You barely have the brain power to correctly process 3 books a year, okay? First of all. Second of all, there aren't 200 good books. They're all crap. I'm going to butcher this, but we'll find it and we'll put it up on screen. That, like, very early Assyrian scroll that was, like, essentially a 4chan Be Me type post with, like, brackets on the side. There's someone in ancient Sumer was lamenting the fact that everybody nowadays has a book. Isn't that funny? Like, before most books were written, people are already like, everybody's got a fucking book. If you write a book, what you're saying is, I have ideas that are worth passing down to posterity. If you're watching Jocko Willink or David Goggins, the appropriate place to do that is on the toilet, taking a shit. The level of wisdom that you're getting from Jocko Willink is for when you are evacuating feces from your body, okay, and you had hot sauce and there's shit everywhere and you're filling the toilet bowl. That's when Jocko and people like that truly shine, okay? In a 15 to 30 second format, that's when this stuff is appropriate. Not in a book, a vehicle that is designed to last 1,000 plus years. That's the purpose of a book. A book is for when you have something, you thought of something so good that it should be taught or learned or thought about 1,000 years from now. It's not something to be like how to bomb the US government. It's not something to be undertaken lightly, which is what every like fitness, if you sell supplements, if you have Hawk Tua, I'm sure she's gonna have a book. Haley Welch, she's coming back. Yeah, she's coming back and we're gonna help her. We're actually gonna help her with the book.
She'd be the first guest on the Sam Hyde show.
I agree. That would be a good first guest.
High five.
She could be the first
high five
on the Sam Hyde show. The first has there been a podcast?
High five.
The Nelk Boys did that. So this book right here is, in my opinion, a good one. This is the William Scott Wilson translation, which might be better. This is the Takao Muko. It's French. Takao Muko translation. The language in this is a little stranger. This is the one that's more commonly available. If you're going to look into this, which you are because you're watching a video about it, you should be warned ahead of time. There is a lot in here that is for an oriental mind. And there are certain things like yoga and Buddhism that are not for a Western white mind, and they shouldn't be. You should not attempt to incorporate Buddhist or yogic, is that the way you pronounce that? Ideas, teachings, philosophies, practices into your Western white world, because it will just do you damage and leave you messed up. So when you read this, when you encounter stuff like embrace death, just ignore it, okay? This is not like the Bible or something. This is a book of, half of it is applicable and half of it, in my opinion, should be thrown out. I don't think that that warning means that you should avoid reading it. There's stuff in here that's invaluable, especially in today's day and age. It was written by a scribe who spent years talking to an old samurai. At the tail end of the era when samurai were useful and did something, the guy whose words were transcribed to make this book, he's at the end of that. So there's no longer these glorious battles. There's no longer a sense of sort of the Wild West of the Japanese feudal era. Japan was moving from a time where feudal lords were dominant and the most powerful sort of force into a time when merchants and city life was becoming more prominent, okay? So he was lamenting this. He was lamenting the dying vitality of his people. It was very much a time like today. And this is something that Mishima talks about. He wrote this book basically talking about the cultural impact and importance of the Hagakure. And the most important thing that he notes in this book is that the Hagakure was given to kamikaze pilots in World War II because the Japanese government thought that it would encourage these pilots to lay their lives down and to accept death and to be brave warriors. And what Mishima says is that, wow, man. Okay, this is the biggest takeaway from this book right here. During the war, Hagakure was like a luminescent object in broad daylight, but it is in pitch darkness that Hagakure radiates its true light. So when there's like people dying on the battlefield and their country's being bombed and they're crashing planes into airplane carriers and stuff, that's not what this is for. In my opinion, to some extent, the good parts of this are like a spiritual manual to be read and studied at the tail end of a great age. That's why I think this is a good book that's worth reading. We're going to do a multi-part series here, and I'm going to go through this and just highlight the passages that I think are the most important. The guy that wrote it, he never saw battle. He only, I believe, executed some criminals for practice, but he never actually saw the battlefield, and that was a great shame to him. His master, who died, prohibited the act of, what's it, bukkake? What do they call it? Seppuku, yeah. His master who died prohibited seppuku, so he was unable to kill himself. He's basically an incel, and after the nearly decades-long series of conversations that he had with the scribe who wrote all this stuff down, he told the guy to burn it, and thankfully it did not end up getting burned. I think when he told them to burn it, that was what was the impetus for these scribes making copies of it. You know, if someone tells you to burn something, you probably should start copying it. Hagakure translates to hidden by the leaves or hidden leaves, a metaphor reflecting the philosophy of the samurai way as described in the book. The title suggests the idea of a warrior's spirit being concealed, not openly displayed, but always present, like a samurai's duty to act with resolve and readiness even when unseen. Also conveys themes of impermanence, self-effacement, and devotion to service. Another note here, a lot of this stuff like your readiness to kill yourself, it doesn't align with a Western mind, and it's not good to take that stuff on. But I do think a lot of this does map to Christianity. If you replace the idea of a Japanese feudal master with God. So yeah, let's just dig into it here. If you want to watch the full version of this video, please go to mde.tv. Free account would be good if you could pay me a small donation. Here's the deal, guys. So we have a defense structure in place. It's called the Iron Dome. Now this Iron Dome, it's so badass that nothing can get through it. However, we still need $20 billion for Bissells. You heard me correctly. Not missiles, I need Bissells, okay? We're under attack here at MDE.TV. We're under attack by rocks. They're not even human, don't worry about them. We're gonna get them out of there, okay? But we're under attack right now. Rocks is the primary. We also have rockets too. They have so many, but we have the Iron Dome, but we need more Bissells to fund this operation. This skunk stuff that we're spraying, it's pretty expensive, all right? But in all seriousness, MDE.TV. Go sign up, please. This show is going to be a regular thing. We got mad more shit going up on that website. Help us reach the stratosphere. Help us get off the ground. All right, y'all, let's take a quick break. When we get back, we got our skunk cannons loaded up, and we're going to give you full bore skunk straight to the dome. Be right back.
The all-new Blazo Shift Knob. Blazo! With its lightweight and sleek design, it's the perfect way to keep up with notifications on the go. Speak into the knob to shift gears.
It's the Bluetooth Blazo Shift Knob.
You could rob a bank.